Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Chaf Ted Amud Bet. Just to chazer over what we saw yesterday, the Gemara proposes here that we have a Machloket Tanaim that is similar to the previous Machloket Tanaim that we saw, which is, when is the threshold at which point the father no longer has a right to be Madir Bino Benazir? And we had two opinions. We had the opinion of Rabbi, which is that it is Shtei Se'arot, that it's reaching a puberty that does that. And we had the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's onat hanedarim, that it's the point at which the child can possibly take a neder, and it's tofes, that it holds, even though he is not of age yet, meaning he hasn't reached the age of puberty, and it's generally a year before the age of maturity. So now the safek really arises, or the question arises in our scenario over here, for Rabbi, when the child is already 13. Once the child is 13, then, if they have shtei sarot, if they reach puberty, then they are an ish. If they have not reached puberty, then they are not an ish. Before that point in time, the Gemara in other places discusses the fact that shtei sarot, before age of 13, is usually suspicious, and we suspect that it may be a shuma, and it's not really reaching of puberty. And the same will be true for Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Only once they're past the age of 12, will it be relevant to check whether they understand their nidarim and whether their nidarim are tofes. So then the question here with regards to Rabbi Chanina was a case where he was at that threshold of time and his father was Madir bin Azir, and they bring him before Rabban Gamliel to make that determination. You can see in the Balei HaTosafot that they brought him on the day that he took the neder. Literally, on the day that he took the neder, he brings him before. There are other Rishonim who believe that he brought him at a later date, and then they were trying to reconstruct what happened, and obviously it's much harder than to figure out what had happened. Now, the Mefaresh over here is interesting enough, talks about that the age of 13 is the threshold for Ish, and that is because he bases on a Midrash with regards to Shimon and Levi. When they go to kill Shechem, over there it says that Vaychush Nebnei Yaakov Shimon and Levi Ish Chorbo, Ish Chorbo. Each of them took their sword and went into Shechem, and it calls them an Ish. And based on the Midrash, they were roughly 13 at that time. And that's the source for the fact that Ish and 13 are synonymous. Or that's how we know that the threshold for Bar Mitzvah or Ish is at the age of 13. It's just an interesting note or an aside. We had the story here with Rabbi Chanina in front of Rabban Gamliel. And then Rabbi Chanina says, don't worry about it, because if my father took the neder and it's tofes, then I'm a nazir because of my father. If it doesn't work because of my father, then I accept upon myself a neder nizirut, and miman of shach, I am a nazir over here. And the case of Rabbi Chanina is interesting. The natural way to read it would have been that it's Rabbi Chanina, who is Stam Rabbi Chanina and Shas. Stam Rabbi Chanina and Shas lives towards the tail end of the Tanaim, the beginning of the period of the Amoraim. The problem with that is that it's post-Churban. And here we're talking about a neder nizirut, which makes it unlikely that we're talking about a Rabbi Chanina post the Churban. And therefore, the Rabbi Chanina that we're speaking about here has to probably be a couple of generations earlier, probably not a Stam Rabbi Chanina, but another Rabbi Chanina prior to the Churban, because he's accepting a neder nizirut. And so someone of that era, pre-Churban, is going to Rabban Gamliel. We know that the Shoselet of Nesim switch between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Gamliel, father, son, for a number of generations. And so it's likely a Rabbi Gamliel when the Beit HaMikdash is still extant. Now, the question that the Gemara now raises is, five lines from the bottom, Bishlama, the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yehuda. The Girsa here depends on what you think the Girsa was before. Tosafot brings the Girsa from the Tosefta as being Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda in the Tosefta. And therefore the Girsa over here is Bishlama, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. And that would accord with the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion above. Although then, it's a little bit more questionable why the Gemara says, Lemei hanit katanai kidhani tanai. Let us say this is the same machloket tanaim when it's the exact same Tana. So, obviously, it's likely that it's his opinion. The Mefaresh over here, and you can see that in the Bach, says, Bishlama the Rabbi Yossi, without Rabbi Yehuda. And they're also above, they would have had the Girsa also here in the story, with regards to Rabbi Gamliel, that it was Rabbi Yossi Omer, and not Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. But either way, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Achi Agielo not Nidarim. that the threshold is that 12 years old for the boy, 11 years old for the girl, a year before they reach the age of maturity. We test whether they have the ability to understand and take a neder. Hainu dikamar. Then it's understandable what Rabbi Chanina was suggesting over here. Im katanani. That means if I'm prior to the onat hanidarim, iyeh bishvil abba. Then my father still has auspices over me, and therefore I am a nazir because of my father's neder. And if not, meaning that if I'm already reached the onat nidarim, then my father has no auspices over me, and therefore I'm taking the neder nizirut now, and it will cause me to be chayav in nizirut because of my own neder, not because of my father's neder. And those two would be mutually exclusive. Either his father has auspices and he has the neder, or his father does not have auspices, and then the neder derives from himself. Elo le Rabbi. According to Rabbi, damar achi avishte se'arot, until he reaches the age of puberty. So now, what are you going to do? Now, as Tosafot points out over here, the Gemara is interesting, because the Gemara assumes that when Rabbi Chanina says, gadol and katan over here, he means, am I able to take nidarim? Am I not able to take nidarim? Rather than what you would have assumed Rabbi would mean, it means that, am I of age or am I not of age? But the Gemara here, for reasons we'll see in a second, assumes that the Gadol and Katan that are referenced here means, am I able to take Nidarim on my own or am I not allowed to take Nidarim on my own? So he says, according to Rabbi, Damar Achivishte Sarot, that the father has a right to impose a Neder Nizirut until the age of puberty. Im Gadolani, Iyeh Bishvil Etzmi. If am I a gadol, meaning that if I'm already past the onat nidarim, then I'll be because of myself. He's still under the auspices of his father. So what the Gemara is asking over here is that once you pass the threshold of onat nidarim, the child's neder is tofes. Yet, according to Rabbi, there still is a right of the father to impose a neder on the child at that point in time. Because the father has that right until the age of puberty. The child's right to take nidarim starts already a year before puberty. So that means that there's a period of 1 year where they overlap. They both have rights there. And so that's what the Gemara is asking. If I'm a gadol, meaning if I'm already able to take nidarim, which means I'm over the age of 12, but I might be before the age of puberty, then I'm taking the neder because of myself. What do you mean? He's still under his father's auspices. And his father's neder is chal. Ela damar, ehe bishvil abba, ehe bishvil atzmi. That I'll be because of my father, or I'll be because of me. So what you have to say over here is, instead of saying using the word gadol and katan now, he just says, ehe bishvil abba. If my father has rights, then I'm because of my abba. If my father does not have rights, then ehe bishvil atzmi. So he takes out this issue of Gadol Katan and simply states who has the rights here. And those rights, if my father has rights, then I'm going with my father. If he doesn't have rights, then I will go with my own neder over here, but not connecting it to the onat nidarim or not. Now, E-I-T. Now, here, whether this is a new question or a continuation of the previous question, the Rishonim, it's not clear. Whether this really just continues the same logic or questioning, because in a sense it's the same question, or is it a completely new question, which is, E-I-T shtei sarot mi-ikara, kayim benizirut delay. Everybody agrees that if he reached the age of puberty before his father took the neder, then certainly the neder that's chal is the son's neder, because the father's neder could not take effect. Because according to Rabbi, once you reach past the threshold of puberty, the father no longer has a right to impose a neder nizirut on the child. So if the scenario, when they check it out, is clear that he had the shtei se'arot and he was over age of 13 prior to his father's neder, there's nothing to talk about. It's clearly the son's neder, not the father's neder. Ula b'sof, if he only reaches the age of puberty at the end, kaim b'nizirut avua, then it's clear that his father's neder is what governs over there. Now, in this case, it's not clear what it means, libesof. I'm going to read it like Tosafot first, then we'll go back and discuss what the Mifaresh says. Tosafot says, libesof means post the accomplishment of the nizirut. That means that after he's already done the whole 30 days of nizirut, Then only after that does he reach the age of purity. So here it gives you two defined moments or time. One is where he reaches puberty before the neder nezirut is taken at all. There it's clear that the father has no rights. It's his neder that takes effect. In the reverse scenario, where he doesn't reach puberty until after the neder, after he does the whole nezirut and finishes up, then it's clear that he's doing the father's nezirut. The question happens, is what happens if he reaches puberty right in the middle? If he reaches puberty in the middle of the neder nezirut. So according to Tosafot, that means that at the time that the neder was taken, he hadn't reached the age of puberty. But in the middle of his accomplishing the nezirut, he reaches puberty. And when he finishes the nezirut, he's already of age. What is the din in that case? How do we look at this? So Gemara says, "Hinicho the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda." That's okay for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. The Amar Achigia lo not nedarim, because he says that the threshold is onat nedarim. And what Rabbeinu Tam says here in the Tosafot is that onat nedarim is not a, call it, significant enough threshold that it would change the dynamic in the middle. That's what he says. Uperish Rabbeinu Tam. It does not undermine or change the reality. Even though from now forward, prospectively, the father no longer has a right to engage the child in a neder, even if he was madrim before that, just because he crosses over the onat nedarim, that should have no impact on the fact that he's keeping the neder that his father engaged him in. And he can finish it off. Kevin de lohavi ki'im dirabanan. Because onat nedarim is an institution dirabanan. And that's not going to undermine the father's ability to engage the child in the nether beforehand. Aval, sarot de'ish de'oraita. On the other hand, reaching puberty is a de'oraita threshold. And therefore, the father is knocked out of the picture completely at that point in time. So now, based on that, you have a problem now. Because in the middle of his trying to accomplish the neder, he comes of age. It's a similar question, not exactly the same, but similar question to child reaching bar mitzvah in the middle of Sfirat Omer, in the middle of any mitzvah that is over a time frame where the mitzvah could start while the child is a minor and ends when the child is already of age, past the age of puberty, or reached bar mitzvah, basically in the interim. So here you have the same problem, which is that when he starts the neder nezirut, he was a katan and he was under his father's auspices, according to Rabbi. But when he's in the middle, all of a sudden that changes, and his father no longer has auspices over him, and he's on his own. He can do anything that he wants. He's now an adult, and maybe that should change the dynamic in the middle. That's going to cause a problem in the middle. Your point is fair, which is that why should it matter? If you're already engaged in the neder, if you're already, it's chal and it's done. So that's, truthfully, what the Rabbeinu Tam says about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, onat nedarim doesn't change anything. If you're engaged in a neder, it stops. But what the Rabbeinu Tam, and the way the Tosfot reads it, is that when it comes to adulthood, adulthood severs your attachment to anything that happened before. You are a new person at that point in time. You are now someone that didn't exist before that point. And so therefore, whatever neder your father imposed in the katan, that katan is gone now. Doesn't exist. And since he doesn't exist, he can't finish that neder. He can't complete the neder that started while he was a katan. So then, what the suggestion of the Gemara is, Elo the Rabbi, Damar, Ajivi, Shtei Sarot, Maikele Meimar, Amre the Rabbi, Leka Takanta. There is no takana. Ad, Diotiv Dilei, Viotiv Davui. He has to keep, basically, both Niziriot. In order to be sure about what the outcome is over here, and what it seems to be, meaning the word mitzei over here means, in some sense, a safek. We have a safek now. We don't know what to do. And since we don't know what to do, we're going to tell him he has to actually keep two nizirut. He has to complete the nizirut that his father imposed on him, then keep an additional 30 days for his nizirut. If he keeps 60 days, then he's certain that he engaged in a nizirut. One korban at the end, because it's a safek. We're not certain as to which one took effect. Here, according to at least the Tosafot, the safek is simply whose nezirut took effect. Was it the father's or the child's? And based on that, we need to now make a determination. The solution is to have them take two, basically, finish up the 30 days from his father, do his own 30 days, and then bring one korban that covers both of those nezeriot. Right, one haircut, one korban, that's it. And you can see that in the Tosafot, there's a little change in the girsa. In the Tosafot, but perish, shetzarich shiyamtim. Rabbi Chanina, here in the Tosafot, we have lamed yom, but it's changed by the girsa to be shishim yom, achar shidiru aviv. He waits 60 days from after the point that his father was madirim, dazri monoshak, ikash loshim. Then for sure he's got 30 days. Oh, lifnei havat simanim, oh achar havat simanim, either before or after the simanim. And he's done. He's going to have an izirut either from his father or from himself, and he's clear that it works. That's the way the Balei HaTosafot learn it. The Mifaresh, on the other hand, says that the Tchila, like the Tosafot, means before the father took the neder. So it's the same scenario, which is that if he reaches puberty before the father imposed the neder, then it's clear that the father's neder is not impactful, because the father had no right at that point in time to impose the neder, and therefore it's not impactful. Now, on the other hand, he does not read Sof like Tosafot. Tosafot reads that the Sof means after he completes the entire Nezirut. Rather, on the other hand, Sof over here for the Mifaresh is after the Neder was taken. Sof just means after they finished taking the Nidarim. So one is, if we know he reached puberty before they took the Nidarim, then it's clear the father's Neder doesn't count and the son's Neder does count. If it's clear that he reaches puberty after they took the Nidarim, meaning that just articulated the Nidarim, took the Neder Nizirut, then according to the Mifaresh, it's clear that the father's Neder took effect. That the father's Neder was the effective Neder here. And that's because at the time when they took the Nidarim, he was still a Katan. And similar to what you were suggesting, once the Neder is in effect, then he's just got to finish it up. Mitzei means we don't know. We don't know when he reached puberty during that period of time. Did he reach puberty before the Nidarim were taken? Or did he reach puberty after the Nidarim were taken? That's Mitzei. Mitzei means just a safek. We just don't know. And so now we don't know whose Neder it is. Is it the son's Neder? Or is it the father's Neder? Now, the way that the Mifaresh explains it, he brings two Lishonot to explain this. In the first Lashon, he basically says, this in a sense is a continuation of the previous question, which is, according to Rabbi, that the father has a right until the age of puberty, but the child already has reached the level of Onat Nidarim. He's already reached the point where they can take a Neder. So therefore, in this scenario, the only way to get out of this problem, the Emsa, is to say that maybe there are two Nidarim taken over here. That's what he says here. Ketzad ata potro b'nizirut achat. How is it possible that he can only take one nizirut? V'amechayev mekeim nizirut ashalo v'al shel aviv. It is possible here that both of the nidarim took effect. Because it's possible that the father's neder took effect because he was prior to the age of puberty. But it's also possible that his neder took effect because he's already in onat nidarim. And for that reason, according to Rabbi, you're going to always have this problem, which is this tension. If you're over the age of Onat Nidarim, but below the age of puberty, it's possible that you're really engaging in two Nidrei Nizirut. And how can Rabbi Chanina over here say, look, Mimonav Shach, I solved the problem. Everything's good now. It's not everything's good, because he was going to have to keep two Nidrei Niziriot. That's according to one Lashon. The second Lashon that the Mifaresh brings is, Be'id Aiti Be'im Mitzi, is Achar Shidiro Aviv. It happened after his father took the Neder, called them Shabbat the Beitin, but before they came to Beitin, and we don't know if they were there or not at that time, and therefore the Dilma lo havi be shtei sarot mikara ad hashto v'nimtzin adur bishvil aviv Shabbat the Beitin v'amar nami hey bishvil atzmi avi nazir b'neda didei m'ne bet nizirot. So first lashon of the Mifaresh, he says that the safek is in the fact that you have this overlap between the onat nidarim and the prior to puberty. So therefore, the father has auspices and the child has auspices, and it's very possible that they took on two nidrei niziriot just because of this scenario. And the second lashon in the Mifaresh, it's just a safek. We don't know when he crossed over that threshold of puberty, and therefore, when they took the nidarim, it's very possible that his neder took effect, and father's neder took effect. Because maybe the father's neder was taken before he reached the age of puberty. And when he came to Beit Din and took his neder, It was after he reached the age of puberty, and therefore both of their nedarim went into effect. And the way the Mefresh is explaining it, that he can't discharge his obligation just through doing one nezirut. He has to do one for his father and one for his own neder nezirut. In this case, according to the Mefresh, it seems to me that you would end up with two sets of korbanot, possibly, and two tiglachat, because he's talking about not a problem of, you know, when do you keep the nezirut, but rather, is there two nidrei neziriot over here? If that's the case, if you're doing misafek, then you really have to keep two nidrei neziriot over here. Alright, so that's the two different ways to explain the Gemara. One according to the Balei Tosafot, one according to the Mefresh, and within the Mefresh, he brings actually two possibilities of how to explain it. Now we move on to the next Mishnah, which is Vaish Migaleach al Nizirut Aviv. Now, if you remember, this Mishnah was quoted back on Chav Zayin on Friday's Daf. And over there I mentioned that when the Gemara quoted the Braita, it's actually this Mishnah and then the Braita with the Tosef that we're going to see on the second half of today's Daf, there is a machloket about the Girsa in this Mishnah, which actually turns out to be the exact opposite. Girsa Ota flipped the Mishnah on its head. So the Girsa that we have in our Mishnah here is the Girsa of the Mefresh. Afterwards, we'll look in the Rosh, and we'll see that he has a girsa that is diametrically opposed to the girsa that we have. So here it says, Aish migaleach al nezirut aviv, ve'nisha migalechet al nezirut avia. Son can use his father's korbanot nazir, or his ma'ot nezirut, in order to accomplish nezirut, but a woman, a daughter, cannot do that. Ketzad, what is this scenario? Mishaya aviv nazir, if his father was a nazir, v'yifrish ma'ot stumim al niziruto, and he separated out undefined monies for his nizirut, umeit, and then he passed away. V'amar, areini nazir al manat shegaleach ma'ot abba. And then he says, I want to be a nazir, but I want to use the monies that my father left behind. Amar Rabbi Yossi, areilu yiplu de nidava, doesn't work. Those go into nidava, meaning like any other ma'ot stumot, that after the person passes away, they fall to the Kates Mizbeach, they go to the donations to Mikdash, and they use those monies to bring olot. Ein ze migaleach al nezirut aviv. That is not the scenario where is migaleach al nezirut aviv. Ezeush migaleach al nezirut aviv. Now, this is the answer to the question of Ketzad. How does it work out? This is the individual that is migaleach al nezirut aviv. Misha Yahu vaviv nezirim. If they were Nizirim simultaneously, then his father separated out monies for the Nizirut and passed away. That's someone who can be Megaleach on Nizirut Aviv. So according to the Mifaresh, it's clear that after the father passes away, the child has no rights to those money. There's no Yerusha and Kodoshim. And the son's starting a Nizirut after the fact doesn't change the fact that the monies fell the nidava when the father died, and you can't change that, you can't reverse that scenario. On the other hand, if they engaged in nidrei nizirot at the same time, then the son in some ways has an attachment or connection to his father through their simultaneous nizirot, and therefore when his father segregated out the money, the son was already a nazir. And therefore when the son passes away, it doesn't just fall to nidava. The son has some sort of claim on that money to use for his nizirut. That's the way that the Mefresh explains it. The Rosh, you can see here in the Rosh, has a girsa that is just the opposite. And he says like this. Ketzad, what's the scenario? Misha Yahu v'aviv nizirim, v'ifrish aviv ma'ot stumim l'niziruto. If they were nizirim simultaneously, and then the father segregated out money. Amar Rabbi Yossi, harei elu yiplu l'nidava. That goes into nava. Shenze Megaleach al Nizirut Aviv. That's not someone who can be Megaleach al Nizirut Aviv. Came under Bechaye Aviv Nadar. Because he took the nether while his father was still alive. And therefore, Vayushneim Chayavim Korbanot. He was Chayav a Korban independent of his father. So he can't discharge his obligation with his father's money when his obligation pre-existed the money coming to him. Obviously, when he say matstumim here, it means for himself, that he wants to use them for himself, for his nizibuto. He's not segregating them for his son as well. On the other hand, what is the scenario where it is? Mishaya aviv nazir, v'yelo ma'ot stumim u'meit, v'amar ben arini nazir al-manat shegaleach ha'ma'ot abba, zeu shemagaleach ha'ma'ot aviv. That's the scenario where it works. Why? Because there he premised his nizirut on the money. So that's where it works. It works over there because that's how he took the net in Nizirut. He didn't, there was no obligation prior to the money. The obligation derived from the fact that the money was available. The way that the Rosh and the Balei Tosafot learn is that, yes, it goes to Nidava if it's not used for Nizirut. The child has the opportunity to use it for Nizirut. If he doesn't use that option, he doesn't exercise that option, then it'll fall to Nidava. The money will be held in abeyance until the child makes a decision. Once he makes a decision, then either he uses it for his Nizirut or it goes to the Nidava. So here you have the Rosh versus, Rosh and the Balei Tosafot versus the Mefaresh, who have the exact opposite gears of when it works and when it doesn't work here in the Mishnah, and that also have implications later on in the Gemara as to what the Gemara is asking. Now the Gemara says, my time on. Right, what's the reason? Now the question is, what Rebbe is asking my time on? So the way that the Mefaresh and the Balei Tosafot learn the my time over here is, why is it that the son can be Megaleach on his father's money, and the daughter cannot be Megaleach on his daughter's money? That's the my time over here. The problem that it presents is the continuation of the Gemara, and we'll see in a second, then I'll read it, the alternate. Which is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Ibn Nazir, the third Mishnah in a row that Rabbi Yochanan says that this is Halacha, the Moshe Misinai. So that's why, the son can use it, the daughter can't use it, that is Halacha, the Moshe Misinai. The Gemara says, Pshita. So, the problem with that is, how can you ask my Taima, what's the reason, and then say it's Pshita? If it's so Pshita, then why are you asking my Taima? So that presents a problem for the way that the Mefaresh and the Balei Tosafot are learning. Therefore, if you look in Tosafot Pshita, he says, "Below Alachi Adina Dein Bat Megalechet." Umay the Hutzrach Milta the Rabbi Yochanan. We would have known this. Bim Kain had the Kamar Shas. My time, my Kushya. What was the question originally? Dacha Poshutlan. Now we say it's so simple. We didn't even need to ask the question. But Tzarech Lomar the Rabbi Yochanan Gufei Amra that the My Time was not from the Gemara, but rather a part of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. And that's how the Balei Tosafot reads it. He says, my time, Rabbi Yochanan is asking a rhetorical question. What's the reason that a bat cannot do it with her father's money, but a ben can? So Rabbi Yochanan explains, Allah ibn Nazir, that the Gemara says on the entirety of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, pshita, Rabbi Yochanan, why do we need this Allah of the Moshe Sinai at all? So that's how the Balei Tosafot solved the problem. The other possibility is that the question is about the son using the father's money for his Nizirut. And that's the question of my taima. The first question is my taima. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha Ibn Azir. That is, Alocha the Moshe Misinai, that the son is allowed to use the father's Nizirut. Then the Gemara asks a second question, which is what the Pshita is going on, which is, why is there a difference between the son and the daughter? The Gemara says, Pshita. That's pretty straightforward, that next piece. So we didn't know why the son can use it. The answer is, Alocha the Moshe Misinai. Now, the fact that the daughter can't use it, Pshita, my lememra, why do you have to tell us this? The ben yurish et aviv bat lo. So, Amara says it's very simple to understand. A son inherits the father, a daughter does not inherit the father. So Amara says, lo, tzricha, delaytle elabat. Wait a minute. That's not always true that the daughter does not inherit the father. That's only true when their son's there. So when their son's and the daughter is out of the Yerusha, because the son split the Yerusha. Well, then if there are no sons, the daughter is an inheritor. So then all of a sudden, wait a minute, maybe the daughter can use her father's money from the Zirut because she is a Yerush. So Mahu the Tema Yorshim Gemirinla. I would have thought that the Halacha the Moshe Misinai is not simply Halacha the Moshe Misinai, but the Halacha Moshe Misinai says that the inheritor can use the monies. So, right. Who is the inheritor over here? Right. So it could be a ben, it could be a bat. So, kamash malon, that the halacha, the Moshe Misinai, teaches us that it's not a din in Yerusha, but rather a din in halacha, the Moshe Misinai, which means that it has, there's no logic necessarily. It's not a din in Yerusha. It's simply the halacha, Moshe Misinai says a ben can do it with his father's property. And that means, the way that the Balei Tosafot and the Mefaresh read it, which is that Rabbi Yochanan's din, which says that why is a son and not a daughter is Allah Moshe Misinai, why was that necessary? It's obvious that a son does it instead of a daughter. The answer is no. Maybe the daughter should have a right as well because she's a Yoreshet. So the answer to the Gemara is no, that's the Allah Moshe Misinai. It says ben and not bat to teach you that it has nothing to do with Yerusha. It's a ben and not a bat. According to the other reading of the Gemara, which is the original Halacha Moshe Misinai was ben can use his father's money. Then the Gemara says, well, it's obvious then that the daughter should not be able to use it. The Gemara says, why is it so obvious? Maybe a daughter should just step in If you're telling me the Lacha Moshe Mitzinai is son, maybe son is equivalent to Yoresh. And the answer of the Gemara is no, the Lacha Moshe Mitzinai is ben and not Yoresh. And that's why the bat is excluded. Now the Gemara says, Ibailohu plige rabbonan alei Rabbi Yossi olo plige. Do the rabbonan argue on Rabbi Yossi or not? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi makes a statement, and we don't find anybody arguing on Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. In addition to that, the way that Rabbi Yossi is introduced in the Mishnah is Amar Rabbi Yossi. In general, when you have somebody arguing, Amar is the first statement in a series. So if it's Amar Rabbi Yossi, that means Rabbi Yossi is the first speaker over here and implies that he's not arguing. If he was arguing on somebody, he would say Rabbi Yossi Amar. Rabbi Yossi says, implying that there was someone else who spoke before him and that he disagreed. But there is a possibility that someone spoke after him and disagreed with Rabbi Yossi, and that's the Gemara's question over here. Is Rabbi Yossi a dat yachid, or is Rabbi Yossi a statement of unanimity, which is that everybody agrees with this position of Rabbi Yossi? Now, the Gemara says, v'im tim salom ar plige. So if you say they do argue, aresha o aseifa. When they argue, which part do they argue on? Now, aresha and seifa will matter now based on the girsa that you had before. Where do you argue? Right? Because then the Gemara's, and it will also affect the Gemara's conclusion. According to the Mifaresh, the resha of the case where it doesn't work is the case where he died already. And then you took the neder afterwards. The seifa is the case where it does work is when they were nizirim simultaneously. According to the Rosh and the Tosva, it's just the opposite. The resha is a case where they were nizirim simultaneously. And the seifa is the case where it works is the case where he already had passed away and he took the neder after the death of the father. Now, Gemara brings Tashma and brings down a Braita, a Tosefta. Now again, the Tosefta here follows the Girsa of the Balei Tosfot in the Rosh, and you can see in the Mifaresh, Hachi Garsinan, he's got a big chunk there that basically reverses the whole Tosefta because it doesn't fit. Meaning that the Mishnah has the Girsa of the Mifaresh, and the Tosefta here follows the Girsa of the Tosfot and the Rosh. So it says here, Tashma, Ketzer Amru Aish Megaleach HaNizirut Aviv. What is the scenario where it works? Misha Yaviv Nazir, Vefish Aviv Ma'ot, and Nizirutah Umeit. V'amar Reini Nazir, Amanat, Shegaleach HaMot Aviv, Zeush Megaleach HaMot Aviv. Which is that after death, if you take the nether, it works. That's like the Balei Tosafot, and that's like the Rosh. Aval, Misha Yahu, Vaviv Nizirim. If there were Nizirim simultaneously, Vefish Aviv Ma'ot, and Nizirutah Umeit, Harielu Yiplu L'Nidava. They will go, L'Nidava, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Those are the words of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Amru, Zehu Shemegaleach Amot Aviv. That's the scenario where you are Megaleach Amot Aviv. They definitely disagree with Rabbi Yossi. The question is, what do they disagree with him about? So that's the girsa of the Balei Tosafot, where the case where it works is after the death of the father. The case where it doesn't work is when it is simultaneous. On that, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda say, Zil, the case where they do it simultaneously, that is the case where you can be Migaleach. Now the Balei Tosafot would say, Tashma, that from that, the conclusion is, Aresha Plige, that they disagree with the Resha. Because the Resha of our Mishnah says, Ketzer Amru Aish Migaleach Hamot Aviv, and then the Resha in the Mishnah tells you which case it does not work on. According to the Balei Tosafot, the case it doesn't work on is when they were simultaneous. In the Mishnah, the first case is the case where it doesn't work, the second case is where it works, and the Tosafot it's reversed. So there, in the Resha of the Mishnah, it says that if you did the Nizriyot simultaneously, according to the Balei Tosafot, it doesn't work. So now, along comes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda, and say it does work. So they argue on the Resha. In regards to the Seifa, it's not clear what their opinion is, and it's very possible that they agree with Rabbi Yossi. Now, if they agree with Rabbi Yossi in the Seifa, according to them, the Seifa is the scenario where it does work, which means that the Seifa is after the death of the father, you can take it, and it works. That means, according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, according to the way that the Balei Tosafot would read, that means that it works in both cases. That, according to them, you can take a neder nizirut with the father's money both when they were simultaneously Nizirim, as well as after the death of the father, he can use the money of the Nizirut, according to Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mifaresh, you can see here, it says, Hachi Garsinan, has the exact opposite girsa inside the Tosefta. And he says, Tashma, Ketzer Amru, Aish Migaleach on Nizirut Aviv, Misha Yahuv Aviv Nizirim. That's the way that the Mifaresh reads it, that when they're simultaneous Nizirim, it works. Aviv Ma'od Naziruto mate, Zemegalech Naziruto Aviv. Aviv Shay Aviv Nazir, Vifrish Aviv Ma'od Naziruto mate. If he dies, Vamarini Nazir Menachi Galech Ma'od Abba, Harizei Elo Yipulin Nidavad. That doesn't work, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Then Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omrim, Zeush Megalech Naziruto Aviv. They disagree and say after the death of the father, you can do it. Then on top of that, the Mifarej says that the word Zehu means here and not in the other place. Zehu means this is the case where it works and not the other case. And therefore, Shvamina, Daresh Vaseifo Pligi. According to the Mifarish, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda argue on both parts of the Mishnah. Because when they say Zehu Shemigaleach, they're saying that in the case where it's after death, according to the Mifarish, where Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work, they say it does work. But they say Zehu. This is the only scenario where it works. That means in the case where they were living simultaneously, it does not work. And that means that they argue on both statements of Rabbi Yossi. So that's where the Mifarish learns. Rabbi Yossi learns now that the answer of the Gemara is that they argue both on the Reisha and the Seifa. Whereas according to Tosafot, it is that they only argue on the Reisha. And that means that according to the Mifarish, they have the exact opposite opinion of Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yossi's opinion of the Mishnah versus the Balei HaTosafot who say that they actually agree with Rabbi Yossi in the scenario where it's after death that it works, but they disagree in the case where they were simultaneous, where Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't work, they say it does work. So they say it works in both scenarios, whereas Rabbi Yossi says it only works in the scenario after death, not when they were simultaneous. So that's the difference between the Shita of the Balei HaTosafot and the Shita of the Mifarish. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Bai Rabo, yesh lo shnei banim." If he has two children, Nizirim, they're both Nizirim. Mahu, what's the din here? Hilchata gemirinla, that called the kodim. And now it depends how you read the girsa over here. It's obviously a wrong girsa, whatever is there right now. But the Bach changes it, called the kodim migaleach, that whoever goes first can be migaleach. Odelma yirusha gemirinla, upalga. Or maybe it's Yerusha, and they split it. So now, if it functions like Yerusha, that means that both children have a right over here. And since they both have a right, they're going to split the monies from the father, and they'll have to add in their own monies to supplement whatever it is to get to their korbanot nazir. But they will still split it evenly. Or do we say that the halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim says, first come, first serve. Now, that could be read one of two ways. The way that the Mifarish reads it is, called the Kadim Nizirutei. Whoever took the Neder Nizirut first, that's the one whose Nizirut will garner the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, because he was the first one in line. Now, partly this is the Mifarish L'Shitato, who says that the case where it works is a case where they took it simultaneously. So it has to be a case where they already took the Neder Nizirut. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot say that, what does it mean, first come, first serve? Whoever comes and uses it first. Whoever grabs it, right, kol kodem zocha. Whoever gets it first, uses it first, and it's done. That's it. And kol de megaleach, I mean literally, whoever does the cutting of their hair and uses it first, they use it. That either could be because his neder nizirut ended first, or it just simply could be that he grabbed it. He got to it first, right? So that's the question here. Now, some of this is somewhat strange, because the Gemara already concluded above that it doesn't work mishum Yerusha. It works mishum halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim. That's why we said before that the daughter cannot use the father's money because it doesn't work because of Yerusha. Along the lines of what you're suggesting is how the Rishonim read it now, which is that the question is not whether the halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim or Yerusha, because that question we already answered. It's halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim. But the question becomes now, once you have the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that says a ben, how do we look at that? Do we then look it through the prism of Yerusha and say ben means now let's look at Yerusha and we'll divide it based on the ben? Or does halacha Moshe Mitzrayim meet totally independent the rules of Yerusha? So even if you conclude it's not working because of Yerusha, Yerusha can still have influence on how it's applied. And that's the Gemara's question over here. The application of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, is it governed or guided by Yerusha, or is it not guided by Yerusha? Then we have what seemingly is a similar question over here as well, which is, Bai Rava, Bechor Pashut Mai. If you have a Bechor and a Pashut splitting it, two brothers, one's the eldest brother, one's younger, so the elder give basically three portions, the Bechor will get two of those portions, the Pashut will get one portion. Mai, Hilchata Gemirin La, Elocha Moshe Misinai, Vilkach, Lo Bai Giluche, Lufoma de Shokil, and therefore he doesn't have a right to cut based on what he would take. Or Dilma Yerushahi. Or maybe it is Yerusha over here. Now, seemingly, the Bai Rova, this question assumes that the answer to the previous question is that the children split it. Because otherwise, the question's not necessarily a strong question. It works like Yerusha. So it seems like they split it. How they split it, now that becomes the issue in Rava's question, which is, assuming that they split it, now how does that division happen? Does it happen like a Bechor and a Pashut, which means that the Bechor gets 2/3 and the other one gets 1/3? Or is it Dilma? Maybe it's just Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and your portion in the Yerusha is not necessarily governing over here. You're just going to split it, whatever the division is. So again, you could suggest that Rava's question is built upon the last one, which is that if you assume that they split it, how does that split happen? Is the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that you just split it evenly? Or is it follow the rules of Yerusha that you split it 2/3 and 1/3? And therefore, the Imtim Salomar is a little more nuanced over here, which is, if you believe it's Yerusha, what type of Yerusha is it? Is it a type of Yerusha that's subject to the Pishnaim of the Bechor? Or is it a Yerusha that is not subject to the Pishnaim of the Bechor? Or you could say that Rava's question is just echoing the previous question, which is Yerusha governed here, or is it the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that governs it here? And as you note in the Tosafot and the Rosh, they indicate that the questions were asked by different Amoraim, one by Rava and one by Rapo, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. So they see these questions as being synonymous or similar type of questions, and therefore they have to have the attribution be different in order for it to make sense here in the Gemara. So therefore the question's like this. Maybe it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so his portion in the Yerusha makes no difference. Oh, Dilma Yerushahi, or maybe it does follow the rules of Yerusha, just like he takes 2/3 of the Yerusha, he'll take 2/3 of the monies towards a Giluach. Now, if you assume that it's a Yerusha, so here again, when the Gemara does Imtim Saloma, the Rambam thinks that they've now concluded that it works, division or divisibility of this is done, governed by Yerusha, and that would make somewhat sense, because it seems that Rova also seems to be leaning in that favor. So he takes based on his Yerusha. Maybe it works like this. That ain't Achanami. Yerusha is the governing factor over here, and therefore they're going to split it. How they split it? Okay, also, Bechor gets a double portion. But maybe the Bechor's double portion is limited to Chulin and does not have application by Kodashim. So the Meforish sees this as a broader question in Hekdesh in general. Do we say by Kodoshim that the Din of Bechor applies or does not apply? And that question could be independent of whether the Bechor gets a double portion or not, but rather a question in Yerusha in general in Kodoshim. What is the Din of Yerusha in Kodoshim? So for instance, the father left over a Korban after it was already brought on the Mizbeach and there is meat from the Korban left over. Does the Bechor get a double portion in that meat? Or if there's a korban that needs to be brought after their father's death that was left over by their father, does he bring a double portion? Does he get a double portion in that? So maybe the double portion is only relevant by chulin, it's not relevant by kodashim. Oh, Dilma came into kani le geluach lo shna. Or maybe it's not governed by the normal rules of kodashim versus chulin, because basically the money is granted to him to utilize towards his geluach. And maybe because of that right or that grant, then it works by the normal rules of Yerusha. The way the Rosh explains the question here, it's not literally Chulin and Kodashim, but rather how he articulated his Hekdesh of these Ma'ot. That if he said that these are Ma'ot and Nizirutai, then they would be deemed like Chulin, and therefore the Bechor would get Pishnayim. But if he said the Korbanot and Nizirutai, where they have a Din like Hekdesh, that's where the question really comes up, or that's the nature of the question over here. And that's a similar explanation given by the Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosafot. The way that the Rosh and the Balei Tosafot are learning that the way that he designates and delineates the money makes a difference, then the question is simply by Kodashim, we know he doesn't get Pishnayim. By chulin, he does get pishnayim. Where does this money of nizirut fall based on the way that he articulates the hektesh here? Which basically, the way to view this is that kodeshim are not subject to Yerusha. Kodeshim belong to God. They don't go through the process of Yerusha. So based on that, the Bechor has no double portion in Kodeshim. So now the question is with regards to these monies. These monies, because of the Halacha of the Moshe Mi-Sinai, do follow a route of Yerusha. On the other hand, they are Kodeshim, they're quasi-Kodeshim. Now the question is, how do we label them now? Do we label them like monies of Yerusha, and therefore the Bechor does have a right to a double portion? Or do we label them like monies of Kodeshim, where there is no Yerusha and the Bechor is not relevant? And that's the Gemara's question over here. And the Rosh says, based on that, v'hu adin d'matzid mimei l'imibai gam b'pashut igimir alocha b'mot ekdesh. This question is not just about a Bechor, this question is even about a Pashut. And he comments, u'perish zarhu. He doesn't really understand this. And he says that it seems to make more sense to me mefereish that siyum de miltahi. That this question is a continuation of this sugya here. And therefore the question is based or built on the previous question. Vim tim salomar, if you say it is Yerusha, and therefore he would get a double portion. And the question is that even if you believe by shnei pshutim that it works by Yerusha, maybe that's not the case by Bechor, because of the nature of Yerusha ta Bechor. Viewing it as Nimtim Salomar seems to be the view of the Tosafot over here, whereas the Rosh has a slightly more nuanced view of this, which is maybe the din of Bechor does not have application by Kodeshim, because the din of Bechor is, it gets Pishnayim by Sher Yimatzei Lo, that it has to be ready and available at the time of the Yerusha, and that's where he gets Pishnayim. And maybe this is not deemed to be Asher Yimatzei Lo, but rather what is halachically known as Ra'oi Kimimuchzak, that it's Ra'oi to reach them, but it's not really in their possession. And there the Bechor does not have a right to double portion, and maybe that's the case over here. And so that's the nature of the question according to the Rosh. Meforish sees this as a broader question in Hekdesh in general. So therefore the question is, if it's uchulin who to eat lay pishnayim over ekdesh lo, maybe not. Or Dilma came to kani lay the giluach lo shna, or maybe because over here the halacha moshe misnai grants it to him, it makes no difference, and he does get the double portion. Aviv nazir olam v'hu nazir stam. What happens if his father was a nazir olam and he's a regular nazir? Or aviv nazir stam v'hu nazir olam, meaning that their naziriot are not of the same genre. If that's the case, my ki gamrina neochatab stam nazirut. Do we say that the Halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai is only in the case of Stam Nizirut? Oh, Dilma Loshna. And Israel Lam, when his hair gets heavy and he wants to take off his hair and do a haircut, he does it and he's able to bring the Korbanot. We had the Machloket earlier, whether that's weekly, monthly, or yearly, that he can do it. So now, when the Gemara says here, is the Hilchata B'Stam Nizirut, you can read that in one of two ways. You can read, Hilchata B'Stam Nizirut means that the Halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai only applies by Stam Nizirut. It doesn't have application by Nizir Olam at all. Or you can say that the Stam Nizirut here means that the Halacha only applies when the Niziriot line up. So if he's a Nizir Olam, it works. And if it's Stam Nizirut, it works. It's not clear here when the Gemara says Hilkotab is Stam Nizirut. So therefore, again, you can read that one of two ways. Does that mean the Halacha of the Moshe Mi-Sinai only applies by Stam Nizirut and Nizir Olam is out of the picture completely? Or does that mean that Hilkotab is Stam Nizirut means when they line up, that's when the halacha applies? When they don't line up, it doesn't apply. Or dilma lo shna, or maybe it makes no difference. And then that dilma lo shna doesn't make a difference. Stam nizirut or nizir olam are both applicable. Or the other way you read it, it means that it doesn't matter if they're line up or don't line up, you can use it. The halacha applies there. Vim tim salomar halacha idi vidi nizirut tara. So here it's seemingly the Gemara again seems to conclude that doesn't make a difference. Which means that whether it's nizir olam or whether it's nizir stam, either way, the korbanot can be passed down from the father to the son. But the question then is, by Rav Ashi, Aviv Nazir Tamei, who Nazir Tor? What happens if his father was a Nazir Tamei, and he was a Nazir Tahor? That means that his father became Tamei in his Nizirut, and now he set aside korbanot to use his korbanot l'tamo. So now, obviously it's not a case where he segregated the animals, because it's different korbanot. You bring birds by the Nazir Tamei, you bring animals by the Nazir Tahor. So it's a case where he segregated money to pay for his nezirut mitumah. Now, the monies will not be sufficient, because over there he has to buy two birds and one animal. So the question is, can the son then add on to those monies and then bring those monies towards his nezirut b'tahara? And the same thing in reverse. Aviv nazir tahor, his father was a nazir tahor, and he is a nazir tameh. Can he take a portion of the money segregated or set aside by his father to use for his korbanot nazir b'tumah, and then he'll use the rest of it for his nazir tahara later on? But can he use the portion of it for his nazir b'tumah? Tosua does bring a second explanation here, that the question is, if the father became tameh, then was mitahir himself, and now he segregated money to pay for his nezirut b'tahara, is his nezirut the same as his son's nezirut? Can the son use those monies? Because his nezirut is really hashlama for what was undermined by the nezirut tameh, and it's a different genre of nezirut because of that. And that's the nature of the Gemara's question over here. Not about using the korbanot from a tameh to a tahor, but rather both of them are using korbanot from a nezir tahara, but it maybe it's a different type of nezir b'tahara, one which was completely b'tahara, one which was interrupted by tumah, and therefore had to be restored. And are you allowed to use those korbanot from one to the other? Here, the Gemara leaves it as a teiko, as an unresolved issue. Now again, how much is unresolved will depend on how you read the Gemara. According to the Rambam, every time the Gemara says Imtim Salomar, it's concluded, then the teiko is only on this last case here. But the other Mefarshim who say the Imtim Salomar is just the Gemara testing scenarios, then the teiko would go back along all of these questions here that it's unresolved as to what is the loch on these instances. Okay, with that, we end the fourth parak, Hadran Halach, Misha Amar.